Genesis 50, let's all stand together. Let's begin reading in verse number 17. Genesis 50, verse 17 says, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph went when they... Joseph wept when they spake unto him, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, pray that you could use the life of Joseph tonight as it has helped me so many times in my life. What an incredible man, Lord, that you gave us here in Scripture as an example, Lord. Just a man who went through so much, yet his spirit was absolutely incredible, Lord. And I pray that we could gain something from it tonight. Use what I'm about to preach, Lord. Pray it help me in my life. Pray it help others here as well. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Joseph played a pivotal role in the history of the Hebrew people. Though many circumstances were certainly not comfortable for him, God brought Joseph from the status of a favored son, then through slavery and unjust imprisonment, to a place of prominence in a foreign land. I mean, just you talk about a roller coaster. We're going to go through a little bit tonight. When famine came to the land of Canaan, Joseph in Egypt became the savior of his family. And the road to get to there was pretty incredible, what Joseph had to go through. But what I want to look at is, as Joseph went through this, I want us to see his attitude. I want us to see his spirit through it all. Through the ups and downs of life, every single one of us face things on a daily basis that we didn't plan to happen. Sometimes those are good things. Sometimes they aren't good things. And we wish we could change them, but it's not the way God had it. God had it the way it's supposed to be, and the way it happened, that's exactly how God wanted it to happen. And all of us face these discouraging circumstances in our life. How are you facing them? How are you doing up to this point? Some of you are looking at me like, not too good. Not very good, Brother Nichols. I'm with you. There's times where I've struggled with things that God's put in my life that it's hard to always be like Joseph. As we'll see tonight, it's hard to be topside. It's hard to have a good spirit. It's hard to not get upset at God. It's hard to not have an attitude. But it can be done. And if you do go through something and you do have the wrong spirit towards it, you can fix it. Well, let's look at Joseph tonight, and I want to look at his life and all the record of events in Scripture. I believe there's no greater type of the Lord Jesus Christ, someone who is most like him than Joseph. I mean, his life is just what we have seen. I was telling my wife the other day, Joseph, or I think it was yesterday, I was telling her, I said, man, if you think about anybody in Scripture, anybody who's given any amount of Scripture other than just one verse, and you see into their life a little bit, they all made mistakes. And you see, like, oh, they mishandled that. Or they had, I mean, even the greatest Christians we can think of, David and Paul and all these great Christians, you see moments of weakness and times where they just did the wrong thing. But man, when we look at Joseph's life, it's incredible. It's incredible the amount of Scripture that is given towards the life of Joseph, and yet all the positive things that Joseph accomplished in his life and how God used him. First tonight, I want to look at how he was faithful as a son. He started out life as a son, and he was faithful. It all started with Israel, formerly known as Jacob, and Rachel. It was his parents that Joseph began his preparation and training that ultimately led him to save both his own family and his people. You might have heard this poem before called A Walk a Little Plainer, Daddy. It says, Walk a little plainer, Daddy, said a little boy so frail. I'm following in your footsteps and I don't want to fail. Sometimes your steps are very plain. Sometimes they are so hard to see. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for you are leading me. I know that once you walked this way many years ago, and what you did along the way, I'd really like to know. For sometimes when I am tempted, I don't know what to do. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you. Someday when I'm grown up, you are like I want to be, then I will have a little boy who will one day follow me, and I would want to lead him right and help him to be true. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for we must follow you. Isn't that good? You have someone, moms as well, that's not just to dads. Dads, you have someone in your house who is following after you. Joseph was following after somebody. He had a great father, and the man named Jacob was his father. And as parents, we play a pivotal role in our children's lives. Kids can have a terrible parent and still make it by the grace of God. Amen. But as a parent, it is our responsibility to train soldiers for the Lord. Amen. We're supposed to get them prepared for life. We're supposed to get them prepared how to serve the Lord. We're supposed to prepare them how to reach people for Christ. I said this morning in Sunday school, I'm glad Brother Wilkes challenged the kids this past week to give out invitations, give out tracts, and pass them out. We went yesterday to a place, one of those pumpkin farm places up by Terre Haute, and when we went there, Jalen said, "Can I bring some tracts to me?" And I said, "Sure." And she told me, "Brother Wilkes is challenging us to give out tracts. I want to make sure I give out tracts." I said, "Okay." And so at first she wanted me to go with her, and I told her, "Nope, you got to do it on your own. Go ask those people on your own." Man, sure enough, she went. Every single worker she could find, she was giving them to and passed them out left and right until she had no more to give. And she was bummed she didn't have more. And I said, praise the Lord for teachers in our church that are helping parents, backing parents up and training them to do the right thing. Sometimes when we fail as parents, isn't it great we've got others in the church that can help us along the way? And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for every teacher at Blessed Little Baptist Church that has a part of my kid's life. That is teaching them on a Sunday morning. That is teaching them in children's choir. That is teaching them on a Wednesday night. I'm thankful for that. But then their kids watch you even when you're not teaching them. They're watching you. Amen. We have many, many kids here tonight. And I was recording the video, recording the kids all singing and just sitting there. I'm like, wow, there's a lot of kids in our church. That's a good thing. Amen. Yep. Many, many soldiers of the cross in the future coming out of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Lord willing. You can have a part of that. Theodore Roosevelt, after the United States entered the World War I in 1917, former President Theodore Roosevelt asked the current president, Woodrow Wilson, for permission to raise a division of troops to fight in France. Wilson refused the request, forbidden to go himself. Roosevelt felt supreme satisfaction in the going of all four of his sons. They did honor to the Roosevelt name. Theodore Jr. became a lieutenant colonel. Kermit and Archibald became captains, and Quentin, the youngest, a lieutenant of aviation, was killed in an air battle. Theodore Roosevelt, for his service, or they gave, I misread this here. Oh, a Silver Star to Theodore Roosevelt Jr. for his service in World War I and the Distinguished Service Cross. A Brigadier General during World War II, he won the Medal of Honor for his actions on D-Day on June 6, 1944, when he led troops ashore at Utah Beach in France. He died of a heart attack in France on July 12, 1944. Young men making their dad proud, amen? I will say that when as a young man, when I was probably about 19, 20 years old, a weakness of mine was music. And I know that can be a struggle for a lot of people. And growing up, I was very sheltered, didn't hear much music out in the world. I heard our music. I didn't even hear Christian music of the wrong sorts. I didn't hear Southern gospel music ever in my home. I never heard contemporary Christian music, just never, ever, really ever heard it. But when I went to college, I had a college friend that all of a sudden we were in his car and he started playing it. You know what my flesh did? This is awesome. Man, I like this. This is good stuff. Give me some more of this. Like, wow, no one's around. This is okay. We can do this. And man, I started getting introduced to that kind of music. And then it became a dream of mine to be in that world. And all of a sudden, this new dream came into my life. Like, that's what I want to do. But I knew if I wanted to break my dad's heart and I wanted to break my mom's heart, if there's one thing that both of my parents are very passionate about, it's music and the right kind of music. And I was taught right. But I didn't have the convictions that my parents had. I knew what they believed, and I believed that they were the right thing, but I hadn't made those convictions mine at that point in my life. And so at that point in my life, I allowed those things to start to influence me. I allowed those people who all of a sudden just became my friends at college to influence me, who should never have had a more influence over me than my parents ever did. But yet I allowed that. And man, I remember from that first year of college, It wasn't my best. I've said to teenagers many years, I wish I could go back and relive my freshman year. I wasn't a bad kid by any stretch of the imagination, but I wasn't a kid that made a difference at the college. I wasn't a difference that made I wasn't a college student that made a difference in the bus ministry. Well, I was doing all the things that you're supposed to do at college. I was checking all the checklists off. I did this. I went sewing this many hours, but I really wasn't there for the right reasons. I had an attitude towards teachers at times because of the kids I was hanging around. And what I was taught as a young child about music, what was put into me, was all of a sudden challenged, and my flesh started to kind of taking control over that. And I allowed that to happen for a short period of time. But I remember my brother-in-law, when he came to college that second year, I was dating the wrong girl. And I say it many times, I was dating the wrong Tabitha. I was dating another Tabitha at the time, and I was dating the wrong one. I was looking for a Tabitha, but just found the wrong one at the time. But going into my sophomore year, man, foolish me. I started introducing that kind of music to my brother and then my brother-in-law because we were our best of friends. And then they started getting into it the first beginning of college. And I remember my brother-in-law. I respect him for doing this. He's younger than me. But I remember him saying to me, what are you doing? Why are we listening to this kind of music? We were taught better than this. We were taught this is wrong. Like, this may be a good song, but this is not how you're supposed to sing it. These aren't the instruments we were taught. And in my mind, I was like, how dare you say that to me? You know, I know better than you do. I know music better than you do. Man, my flesh wanted to argue with him. But man, I was thankful for that because it challenged me. It got me thinking all of a sudden, I don't want to sneak around and listen to this music anymore. Why am I doing this? And because I didn't want to disappoint my dad, and because I didn't want to disappoint my mom, and I wanted to make them proud, I knew if there was one way that I could break their heart, it was in the area of music. And so I decided from that moment on, I was done with it. Not because it was my conviction at the time, but because I wanted to honor my parents. And over time, those convictions became mine. And today, they're not my dad's convictions, they're my convictions. But I'm thankful that my dad influenced me from a young age and instilled good principles into my life so that when I was challenged, I could ultimately make the right decision. Pastor Ross says a lot of times that give a good person enough time and they'll make a good decision. Parents, adults in this church, when you do the right thing and you're teaching young people here at the church, teenagers, young people, young adults, you're putting something, you're planting the seed. You're giving them the truth. We talked about my Sunday school class this morning. We have the truth, and as much of this truth we can get in our young people, they can turn out like Joseph, amen? They can turn out like him. Joseph was loved by his father. It says, chapter 37, verse 3, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Now that could have been the problem right there, right? It's like the cardinal rule you cannot break as a parent. You can't love one child more than the other kids. But it very plainly says that that's what Joseph did. But Jacob loved his son Joseph, and it was very evident that it was his favorite son. I mean, of all these boys that Jacob had, and Joseph is his favorite, naturally, there's one thing that's going to enter into that equation, and it's jealousy. Naturally, it just happens. And that's exactly what happened. And his brothers just despised him, wanted nothing to do with Joseph. And Joseph had to overcome that. I can imagine for Joseph, it wasn't an easy place to be. Yes, you might have had favor with your dad, and he might have loved you more than all others, but man, it had to have been a very uncomfortable place to be because all of his siblings hated him. None of them wanted to be around him. They all just looked away, didn't want to hang out with him. None of them wanted to play with him growing up. None of them wanted to do anything with him. And so you can look at that and say, well, he was his dad's favorite. It's not always the best place to be. Put yourself in that position. Yes, you may have the favor, but man, you're giving up all those other relationships. And Joseph had to overcome that. He was well loved by his father. We are loved by our heavenly father. Aren't you glad? Amen. Aren't you glad that he loves all of us the same? I'm glad he doesn't love you more than he loves me. I'm glad he loves all of us the same and individually. He loves you and cares about you. Doesn't matter what you've done in your life. Doesn't matter your past. Doesn't matter your history. Jesus died on the cross for you, and he died on the cross for me, and he loves all of us the same. He wants to bless all of us the same. He wants to encourage and uplift us and inspire us. God wants to use us if we will allow him to. Joseph was loved by his father, but then he was hated by his brothers, it says. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peacefully unto him. It was a great burden upon Joseph that he had to bear, all of his brothers hating him. Then we see that he was obedient to his call. So despite all these things and his relationship with his brothers, you'll see in this verse it says, and he, Joseph's father Israel, said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. So Joseph, knowing that his brothers hate him, and all of his older brothers can't stand him, he's scared of them. You know what kids do when parents aren't around, right? You don't know, I should say, right? You hear things, and you're just like, oh, my goodness, what goes on when I'm not around for 5 minutes? Can't you all just get along? And Joseph is told by his father, Jacob, to go out and just check on his brothers out who knows where, far away from the house. You can imagine Joseph like, this isn't going to go well. This is not, I already know how this is going to go. I've already seen this happen. But I can promise you, Joseph did not think what happened was going to happen. I'm sure he thought he was going to get ridiculed, mocked, maybe even beat up. Some bad stuff happened to him. But he did not think that he would be sold into slavery. I mean, it's one thing to dislike a brother and not get along with your sibling, but to sell your sibling to a foreign country to become a slave. I'd say that's hate on a max level right there. How many of you did not get along with your siblings, at least one of your siblings growing up? Would you raise a hand if you didn't get along with a sibling? Just about everyone who has a sibling raised their hand. But how have you thought about selling them into slavery? Some hands might go, too much honesty, all right? Too much honesty. But boy, Joseph couldn't even prepare himself for that. But yet he knew something bad could happen. Can guarantee it. Put logic to the story and put yourself in Joseph's shoes. And his dad tells him to go out there away from his dad. I imagine Joseph didn't ever want to be with his brothers away from dad, because dad was like protection. If I'm around dad, then he can protect me. And his brothers sell him into slavery. We see that he was faithful as a son, but then he was faithful as a servant. So he goes from being favored in the house to now being a slave, now being a servant. Joseph's brothers wanted to get rid of him, and through a series of circumstances, Joseph is then sold as a slave and taken to Egypt. He had been faithful as a son, and now he's being sold as a slave. He's got a pretty good opportunity here to complain to God. You haven't had that opportunity. I haven't been sold into slavery. But Joseph did. Joseph had an opportunity to complain, have an upset spirit, a bad spirit, and an attitude. And yet in Scripture, you can't show me a verse even close to anything that shows you Joseph's anger. Nothing at all. And he just takes it. And Joseph's thrown into slavery by these men in Potiphar's house. And then he's in Potiphar's house, and he gets accused from his wife, Potiphar's wife, that accuses Joseph of trying to rape her. All of a sudden, Joseph, who is trying to be a great servant and he's the head of the house, man, he's doing it. He is trusted by Potiphar. A servant now has been given this trust to be in charge of Potiphar's house. And Potiphar loves Joseph and thinks the greatest of him and has elevated him high up. And now, all of a sudden, he's falsely accused, and he's thrown into prison. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his hands. Such trust is a valuable gift. How many of you like it when someone trusts you to do something? You like that? Kids, do you like when your parents trust you to do something? All right, of all the kids, teenagers, kids, how many of you have ever lost your parents' trust before? Raise your hand. It's okay, you can all raise your hand. I'm sure you have lost it at one point or another, all right? When you have your parents' trust, kids, I'm going to help you out for a second, right? Don't lose it, all right? Do not lose your parents' trust. It's a good place to be when your parents trust you, but you can very easily lose it. And it's very hard, I'll help you real quick, when you lose your parents' trust, it's very hard to earn it back. Can I get an amen, parents? It's very hard to earn it back. you've got to do way more work to earn it back than you did to lose it. I'll just tell you that right now. It takes a lot of work in life. When you get a job someday and you gain that trust and then you lose that trust, it's hard to gain it back. We are humans, correct? We're humans. And when you lose someone's trust, even as you're gaining it back, it's always in the back of their head. Man, it's such a valuable thing that when you gain trust, to not lose it. And Joseph, I'm sure, knew that. And he worked extremely hard. He did nothing to lose it. Okay? He didn't do something he shouldn't have done. Got caught. Man, you caught me. Stink. I lost my trust. Now I got to go to prison. No, Joseph served the Lord. Joseph did right. He did what God told him. He was honorable. He did everything he could to be a great servant. He was a great son, then he was a great servant. And now he's thrown into prison. It's like this in Joseph's life. Now he's in prison. And while he's in prison, because he's become such a great prisoner, that he's been put in charge of the prison. I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable testimony that Joseph would get thrown into a prison and he could be angry, could be mad, could try to escape. Prison back then was not like it is today, okay? There was not flat screen TVs and the whole workout program and all those different things that you can do and play video games and stuff. I mean, it was down in the dungeons and there was rats and just, you can't even imagine how terrible. It was not a clean place to be. And that's where Joseph is now thrown into for years, not days, years that Joseph's thrown. I'm trying to get you to understand where Joseph went, and I want you to correlate what he went through with what you've gone through in your life. And if Joseph can handle it the way he's handled it, can you handle it somewhat close to how Joseph handled it? Can you have a good spirit through the down times when you don't understand? Do you think Joseph understood why God let someone accuse him of raping somebody and having to go to a prison? You think that Joseph understood why God did that? Absolutely no. There's no way that he would have understood that. Why would God do this to me is the question that every human being would ask. All I have done, Lord, is I have served you. I've done everything you've asked, yet I keep getting thrown into these crazy circumstances in my life. What is going on? But he didn't do that. He was patient every time, and God came through for him. It says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. I mean, being lied about and mistreated did not stop Joseph from receiving God's favor or from serving him. Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations, listen to this, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? 2 Timothy says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye have peace, in the word ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen? I have overcome the world. You may go through hard times, you may be in a valley right now, you may be in the worst trial of your life, but God says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That's who we serve today. If you serve him, can I hear an amen? I serve a great God. I serve somebody who can get me through the hard times. I serve a God that I don't know what tomorrow holds, and he knows what tomorrow holds. And no matter what happens tomorrow, I can trust him, and he can get me through it. You can trust him, and he can get you through it. There's some brothers, you might have heard about this over 20 years ago in Texas, two brothers, two pastor sons, just like me and my brother. We worked for our dad. These two brothers, they're named the Thompson brothers, that worked for their dad there in Texas. Anybody heard this story of them? In Texas, we're serving in a Christian school, and in that school, they had spankings, and they had permission. Parents would sign permission, and so kids could get spankings if they disobeyed in certain ways and stuff. That was just, they were old school there. And, well, they had a bus kid that had, you know, earned his way to come to the Christian school and just was not doing good at school and just being ornery and bad attitude and was getting some spankings at school. Well, this mother falsely accused, she had a boyfriend that had beat her son, and falsely accused She was scared of him, from what I have understood, was scared of this man if she turned him in. And so they falsely accused these two brothers of beating her child at school. And they were immediately put in trial, were not given a fair trial, and put in prison. I mean, these were men that had wives, had kids, served in the Lord with their life. I mean, everyone in the church said these two men were just incredible. And they were thrown in prison. And they knew they were falsely accused. And they've tried to fight it, but they didn't win. And so they stayed in prison. And one of the brothers decided to create a ministry there in the prison, witnessing to fellow prisoners. Became a pastor, if you will, to all of these prisoners. And I don't know the exact number, but I believe he just recently got out. But I believe while he was there in prison, I believe that he had led over 400 prisoners to Christ while he was there. Reminds me of Joseph. Man, falsely accused. He knew he didn't do wrong, but he found a purpose. Why did God put me here? I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I know how to witness. I know how to give out the gospel, amen? So I'm going to start witnessing to people, and God used him to witness, and he was in prison for over 20 years. 20 years. What are you going through right now that you're thinking of, I'm about to quit. I'm about to give up. I can't handle this anymore. I'm giving you some circumstances of other people who've gone through some tough stuff. Joseph went through some tough things. And they didn't quit. They didn't give up. They had a good spirit. They had a good attitude. They found something to do for the Lord in the trial. You see, that's why I think a lot of, my dad taught me this, a lot of Christians, when they go through a hard time, they want to pull back from everything. They want to give up, and they want to focus on themselves. Because isn't that what the world teaches us? Focus on you. Do whatever you need to do. Get yourself where you need to be. Forget everything else. God's way is, no, you need to stay busy serving the Lord. Focus on others. While God was going through persecution, he was focused on us. Aren't you thankful? He was focused on you, and he was focused on me. When you go through a hard time, it's okay to still serve the Lord. It's okay to break out a Bible and read it every single day. It's okay to have that relationship with the Lord on a daily basis. It's okay to wake up in the morning and pray to the Lord. It's okay when you go to bed at night to get alone with the Lord and pray to him and thank him for the good things that he is doing in your life and to help you through the hard time. It's okay to still serve the Lord when you're going through a hard time. The Bible says in Genesis 41, it says, "And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house." He's talking about Joseph. "And according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." Guess what? God came through again for Joseph. I mean, he went from prison to second in the land. I mean, you talk about as drastic as you can. I mean, imagine a guy getting out of prison and then just going to becoming our president. I mean, that's why they're treating Trump right now, right? A felon to become president. But that was Joseph. That was my pastor didn't get here tonight to be able to give you his political. So that was my little insert there. My wife said, "I can't wait to hear what you're going to say tonight." But politically, I said, "No, I am leaving that up to pastor." But Joseph in prison, not knowing what he's supposed to do, but he knows I can serve the Lord with my life. I can witness. I can be an example unto the Lord. And God lifts him up again and comes through for him and elevates him to the second in command. The psalmist says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good cheer, courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Man, he was faithful as a son. He was faithful as a servant. Lastly, now, he was faithful as a sovereign. He was faithful as a supreme ruler. He gets put in charge of all the land. See, they could tell, anyone that was around Joseph could tell, something is different about this guy. Something is different. He's got the hand of God upon him. God is very much a part of his life. Do people say that about you? Do they know God is very evident in your life? I was glad yesterday when we went to KFC. Brother Young here was a bad influence on me and convinced me to go to KFC to try these new chicken tenders and their new sauce that supposedly is like Cane's, Raising Cane sauce. And they're out of the sauce. Unbelievable. But we went to KFC yesterday up in Terre Haute. And while I'm doing the order, Jalen walks up behind me and just hands the guy an invitation. And I was like, oh, all right. And she hands the guy an invitation. He said, oh, I figured you guys were church people. He said, only church people wear skirts and dresses. And I said, yeah? And he said, yeah, my grandma, I've never in my life, one time, ever seen her in a pair of pants. My whole life, he said, she's worn dresses and skirts. I said, wow. And he said, I could just tell something, you guys were Christians. I wish I could have that testimony that my wife and girls get to have. They get to walk around, people just know they're Christians. When I walk around, people know, I don't know, what is he? What does he do for a living? I have no clue. Women get a testimony that they get to use for the Lord, and people can look at you and say, they must be Christians. When people are around you, do they have a clue that you're a Christian? No, I'm not saying I wanted to wear a dress, all right? That's not... I can see that just circulating through some of your minds. He didn't really mean that, did he? Let's set the record clear on that tonight. Get that out of the way. I'm really getting political now, all right? But when people are around you, are you afraid to talk of the Lord? Are you afraid to mention his name? Are you afraid to stand up for right in this wicked, wicked world? You see, as the world is getting more and more wicked, Christians are becoming more and more afraid to stand up for truth, stand up for right. It's okay to do something that is going to make a difference in this world. We've got political leaders now that are making more of a difference in this world than Christians are. People out in this world are not afraid to stand up for what they believe in. Go ahead and look up online. Go look up on YouTube. Go look up on news articles. Listen to what the world will say. They are not ashamed of it. They will not back down. They will state their wickedness and stand up for it. Yet Christians will say, only in the house of God. Well, I'll say something at church, but I don't know if I want to say anything out in public. What difference are you making in this world if you don't have a backbone to stand up for truth? God didn't give us scripture that we can come to church and just read about it. God gave us scriptures that we can indwell it into our lives so that we can help make a difference in this world. Joseph used what was taught to him from a young age to be an influence wherever he was at. Didn't matter the circumstance. Didn't matter the trial. It didn't matter where he was at. He used what he was taught from a young child to help change people's life. And God constantly kept elevating him. He was faithful as a sovereign. Many of you know the company John Deere. You don't even have to see the name of the company on a tractor to know it's a John Deere tractor. You just know the two colors are green and... Isn't that funny? You just know how powerful colors are, right? How powerful... You're known for the red buses here. We were growing up. My dad became the pastor, we had, I don't know if lime is the color, but puke, lime, green, somewhere in there, whatever that was the color of our buses, all right? I mean, they were just this ugly, bright green with white trim buses, but everybody knew, I mean, where those buses would go every single Sunday. I mean, they stood out, but man, the time finally came when we wanted to change the colors, and my dad was like, man, I'm appreciative that people know, but I'd like to give them a different color to know us by. And so we changed the colors. But isn't it crazy how John Deere, how well known the name is, it would not have become what it became if it wasn't for John Deere's son, Charles Deere. Did you know that? So John Deere started the company and came up with the phrase, nothing runs like a deer. John Deere, I'll just read this. It's from their website. But John Deere himself is a developer of the world's first commercially successful self-skewering steel plow, might have been just another footnote in history instead of one of the world's most famous brand names had it not been for his son, Charles. From the John Deere Company website, you can find, with his education completed, Charles joined the company as a bookkeeper in 1853 at the age of 16. Working his way through a variety of positions, Charles quickly earned a reputation as a keen businessman. This must have delighted John as it allowed the father and son to both focus on what they did best, Charles handling the business and John attending to the products and sales. By 1858, John had turned over the management of the business to Charles, who was just 21 years old at the time. Charles Deere was an outstanding businessman who established marketing centers called branch houses to serve the network of independent retail dealers. By the time of Charles Deere's death in 1907, the company was making a wide range of steel plows, cultivators, corn and cotton planters, and other implements. John Deere himself died in 1886, but his legacy lived on in a way he could have never imagined. His descendants and their spouses went on to lead the company John Deere for another 96 years and counting. You see, what you put in your kids will someday come out. You've heard that song, I'm trying to remember how it goes, but basically the song talks about what you put in your kids, over time it will come out of them. The good things you put in them will come out. The bad things you put in them will come out someday. Parents, leaders, adults, young adults, we have an influence upon the next generation. We've got Josephs all over in the room here tonight. All over in the room with that can make a difference in this world, that can be faithful as a child of God, that can be faithful as a servant of the Lord, that God can use someday to be a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist or a deacon or a church member, a Sunday school teacher, a bus captain. God can use these young people. You see, if the church isn't training them, who's training them? Are we going to leave it to the public school to train the next generation? Is that what we're going to do? Are you... I challenge you and I ask you tonight, are you doing more for the young people of Blessed Hope Baptist Church than just your children? How many young people are you trying to be a part of their life? Are you trying to be an example? Are you trying to help? Are you trying to encourage? Are you trying to teach? I started in our church out in California. I started, I believe it was called Operation Elijah. And for our young men, with all the men of our church, and the young men didn't know about it, or the teenagers didn't know about it, but I met with a bunch of the men that I thought would be good, godly leaders to our young men. And I told them, I said, men, our teenagers, they need you. Our young men, they need you. They need to learn from you. We've got bus kids that don't have a dad to teach them anything. Even the basics of life they don't have, or a mom they don't have to teach them the basics of life. They need godly men and women in our church to stand up and to be a part of their life. And I try to tell them, every one of you have a hobby that you're in. Every one of you have something that you love doing, that you're passionate about. Man, can you take some time and share it with one of the young people here? Can you spend some time with them? Whatever that hobby is, can you take time and offer to take them with you next time you go and do it? And just try to think, I gave every one of them one teenage boy, maybe two if we needed to. But I told him, I want you to focus on that teenage boy and just try to think, what can I do? When's his birthday? I want him to know that I care. But I told all of them a story that when my dad was going through all of his health problems and my mom was tending to him, and my dad was just everything he could do just to get in the pulpit and preach. My dad, many, many, many years, would sit in a high high chair. I have to say it's two separate words. High chair behind the pulpit and had to preach. It was just everything he could to preach. My dad grew up going hunting and fishing and everything you can think of in the mountains, but he couldn't do that with us growing up. That was nothing that we ever got to have as young boys growing up because of my dad's health. But man, we had men in the church that were good, godly leaders that, man, they invited me and my brother to go do those fun things. They made the Christian life fun for us. They made us let us know, hey, it's okay. You can have fun in the Christian life. I know your family's going through a tough time. Your family's going through a trial. But hey, you can come with us. We're going to go on a boat. We're going to go this. We're going to go do fishing. We're going to go hiking. We're going to go camping. We're going to go to Yosemite. You want to come with us? And man, I remember times I had a couple uncles that I would work for periodically. And I remember just sitting in the truck and sometimes having a little bit of an attitude just kind of about my parents and just things weren't going the best. Or, you know, my mom got upset because she was so stressful with everything. And so I would kind of say something to my uncles. And then my uncles would remind me how good of parents I had. And he would remind me, man, don't forget you have this. Don't forget you have this in your parents. Man, don't forget what other kids. You know that bus kid in our church? He doesn't even have a dad at all. He doesn't even know who his dad is. You have a dad that loves you, cares about you, puts a roof over your head, loves you, wishes he could do. You think your dad doesn't want to do stuff with you? And I remember hearing those things from men in the church that helped, man, they would get me something on my birthday. They cared about me. They loved me. People invested into my life. I had a big responsibility. When I graduated high school, people invested into my life. Some of you in this room can raise your hand saying, people invested into your life. What are you doing for our next generation? What are you doing for the Josephs that are all around our church, that are running around you? Are you having a part, or are you letting every single day go by, every single church service go by, every single week go by, and you're not having a part of the next generation? You're just attending church. You're just doing your thing. I want to encourage you tonight, challenge you, find a Joseph that you can be a part of. Find someone that you can help for this next generation. We need to make a difference in this world. We need these young people to turn out. We need them to hold on to those convictions that they're taught from God's word. Taught in Sunday school this morning, aren't you glad that we're not just basing what we believe off of just some random person that just made up a bunch of stuff? We base the truths that we believe off the truths of the Bible. Amen? And your teenager in your home, your kids right now may not have those convictions that you have. You right now, they're just doing whatever mom and dad say. But someday, they can turn out like Joseph. They can be faithful as a son. They can be faithful as a servant. They can be faithful, and God will someday elevate them to do something great for him because of the work that you put into them. Aren't you thankful for, is it 17 in the ministry? 17 in the ministry out of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. What a testimony for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I can promise you, those 17 didn't get out there by themselves. They got out there because somebody, more than one, invested in them, spent time with them, was there for them. Almost every one of us have had somebody be a part of our life to get us to where we're at now. What are you doing to give to the next generation? Lastly tonight, he was a forgiving sovereign. You'll see it says, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when he spake unto them, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. He said, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly of them. Boy, this is not the little brother that they saw when they sold him into slavery. Boy, that was the last time they saw him. The brother they hated, that they couldn't stand. Now, all of a sudden, they are in desperation mode, about to die, running out of food. Just please help us, do whatever you can. I mean, they're at the lowest of lows in their life. And now they're begging from the brother that they sold into slavery. Joseph could have had his opportunity. Payback time. Oh, it feels good. Joseph had that opportunity right there in his hands, and he wouldn't have gotten in trouble for it. Oh, he probably would have gotten in trouble with God, because that was not God's plan. Joseph decided, it's not my job. It is not my job to pay back to them what they did to me. That's between them and the Lord. I want to save my family. I mean, he says to them, I will nourish you and your little ones, and he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. I mean, every time Joseph has an opportunity to be angry, upset, he finds a way to find grace. He finds a way to have the best spirit that you could possibly have. The Bible says, even though we are sinners, we deserve way worse than what we've been given. Every one of you in this room, including myself, we deserve to go to a place called what? We deserve a place called hell. But thank God, the Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, but by death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by life. And Ephesians says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I just want to ask you the simple question tonight. What are you doing to make a difference in the young people of our generation? And how are you handling the tough trials that you're going through right now? I believe that Joseph was taught from his dad how to handle trials. I believe that Joseph was taught from his dad how to have a relationship with the Lord, because Joseph couldn't have done all of that on his own. There's no way. Joseph could not have made the decisions he made without the Lord being a part of his life. I don't think the Lord just all of a sudden became a part of his life once he was in that trial. I believe that Joseph prepared himself long before those events came into his life. Joseph had a relationship with the Lord that was special. And so he might have been alone and had no brothers there, had no dad, no mom there along the way, but he knew that he could trust in God. He knew that he could lean upon him. He knew that he could pray there. He didn't know what tomorrow held, but he knew that he had God on his side and he knew that he could trust in him. I want to encourage you tonight, trust in him. I don't know what it is that you're facing right now, but I'd be foolish to think that everyone has had a perfect week this past week. I'd be foolish to think that no one's going through something tough right now. But in the midst of your trials, realize that God has grace that he can give you. God has mercy that he can give you. And while you're going through that trial, try to help someone else. Try to encourage somebody else. You see, the more you look at other people and you see their needs and try to fulfill those needs for them, the less you have time to think about yourself. Isn't that good? Think about others. Let's have that testimony that Joseph had. Wherever Joseph went, people knew the hand of God was upon Joseph. Can that be said about you? Let's pray. Dear and Father, Lord, life of Joseph is just one of the most incredible lives that I have read about all throughout Scripture, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for his testimony. I thank you for Joseph's willingness to obey you even in the tough times. Lord, we've got a lot of young people in our church that can be like Joseph's. Lord, we've got 17 of them out there that are in the ministry serving you, not living the life of luxury and money, Lord, but they're out there. They have surrendered and given their lives to you. And they were once young people in this church. They were in kindergarten at one point in this church, Lord, but people invested into them, just like a father and a mother invested into Joseph, Lord. I pray that as members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, that as these children run around our feet every single day, Lord, I pray that we would try to slow down time and think, how can I help out? What can I do to be an influence? What can I do to encourage these young people to realize that, hey, we care about you. We love you. We want to see you do the best that you can and serve the Lord. How can we spend time with them, Lord? Lord, I pray that at Blessed Hope Baptist Church here in our community, that we can make a difference. Thank you for the bus ministry. Thank you for those that are serving every single week, knocking on doors throughout the week, getting up early on a Sunday morning in the cold, in the warm, no matter what, Lord, bringing young people and teenagers and adults to church, giving them a free ride, Lord. It's making a difference. And I pray that our people would see that and stay faithful at it and commit to it no matter what they're going through.